Robots Radio presents
Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast.
I'm not usually a hat fan, but wow.
Maybe like a Vaya and Dagger.
I'm really sipping on that dumb bitch juice today. And
Yeah, I am. But you know what? Someday I just might grow out of that. But you will never stop being a jerk.
All chocolate cakes are good. You're a fascist.
It's hideous.
It's horrible.
It's home.
Angry white boy, let's go!
Hello, and welcome to Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast. The plucky blonde girl who just wants to surf. That's Chad Ekowitz.
And that's Simone LaRue. Oh god, you know, what would we do in life if we didn't have blonde girls who just want to surf all the time?
I don't know. I truly don't know.
You know, I think there are a few things in this world that are more beautiful than women in sundresses,
mm-hmm.
and just anyone with a surfboard.
I think the moment you're carrying a surfboard, you're 60% hotter.
Yeah, I think it used to be the same with guitars, but then a lot of douchebags learned guitar.
The market kind of got flooded there.
Exactly. So now it's the surfboard market, and they've capitalized. I mean, unfortunately, you have to be quite coastal based to sort of enjoy that lifestyle and have the benefit of that. But you know what? I can imagine it works out. Your numbers must be incredible if you have a surfboard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, Simone, I mean, we made a promise to the people last time that we would tell them the story of our brief surf lesson. So how about you tell them? You have a much better way with words than I do.
So through university, my boyfriend at the time was like a surfer from Durban. And we were both staying with his family in Durban. Chad came to visit. I was there. And he and ex-boyfriend and his dad were like, oh, we'll take you guys surfing. and they did. And I think the real struggle for Chad and I was just staying on the boards. Just lying down on the boards without just whoop tipping over.
You would think, I mean, this is the really frustrating thing, I guess, about surfing movies, is the fact that they make it look so easy to just be on a surfboard.
But, like, good surfers always make it look easy. You're like, oh, yeah, that looks pretty straightforward. You've got the board and you paddle, 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 and then you hop, hop, up, and then you're great. And it's
not. Yeah, exactly.
It's really hard.
No, they don't tell you that the ocean is actually actively fighting against you staying on a board, that the board doesn't want you on there, that it's far worse than any horse you've ever ridden in your life. And, you know, that's before you even try and look at a wave.
Yeah.
It's not an easy job, definitely. I still want to learn. I don't know about you.
No, me too. This really got me pumped up. I'm ready, but I need a wetsuit because I live in Cape Town and the water is cold.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look who you're talking to. It's England.
Yeah, like, true.
This is no joke.
Surfers in England, I feel, are extra dedicated.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. The fact that they're out there at, like, 5 in the morning doing this shit, I'm just like, oh.
Misery.
Just, no. Come on. Don't be in the water at that time. My girlfriend knows how to surf. I don't think she would be my girlfriend very long afterwards if she tried to teach me, but I'm still gonna ask
her for lessons.
There
are some things that, like, as a couple, you can just be like, you know what? That's not for us to do as a couple.
Yeah, I think surfing lessons. I kind of want to, like, low-key, impress her and just, like, get surfing lessons with someone else, cry in front of someone else, you know, get really, really frustrated, you know? And then when I'm amazing at surfing, come back and then surf in front of her.
Much like therapy, like, that's something you let a professional handle and then, like, bring it back to the relationship, you know?
That's beautiful. If that's not the most beautiful message that we can ever take away from this, and I think it works with the movies that we're talking about specifically today, is that therapy could have helped much more than surfing.
Surfing is not a replacement.
No, definitely not. I mean, people do say that, you know, being out in the water is its own kind of therapy, but goddamn, no, therapy is its own kind of therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So why don't you tell the people what surfing movies we're going to be doing
today? Guys, we're doing the classic surfing movies. Obviously, we've already done Point Break, so, like, we can't go back. But we're doing the other one, The Sexual Awakening for a lot of men and women. Blue Crush 1, and then the sequel that they had to make, Blue Crush 2.
Hat 2 is a very strong word, isn't it?
Insisted on?
Probably, some executive was just like, we made a lot of money off of Blue Crush, we need to make a
second. And you know where it's cheap to film? South Africa.
South Africa, yeah. less, you know, sort of safety laws. What a place to be. Mm-hmm. That's the way you want to film, guys. Mm-hmm. I do like also what you said there about sort of sexual awakening, but also I think POD had a lot to do with that. That Youth of the Nation song kind of is a very, very sexy song, even though if you listen to the lyrics, it's very dark and sad.
Yeah.
But that song coupled with, you know, beautiful women surfing is a very, very interesting.
What are you
going to
do?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, Simone, what are you drinking today?
Chad, I finally got some wine back in the house.
Bootleggers!
Actually, a friend of ours gifted us some, which was very kind.
Oh, okay.
It's just full on. That's very kind of them. This is why you have friends who are, like, slightly older than you. First of all, they're lovely. Mm-hmm. Like, just genuinely the coolest people. And they sometimes take pity on you.
Yeah. It's good to have slightly wealthier friends.
I guess not even wealthier, just like people who have their shit together, you know? Like people who have like a backlog of wine, as opposed to us who kind of like, we go week to week. We've got like four bottles of wine that we like never touch because that's like our special occasion wine.
Right, okay.
And then the rest, like it's just week to week, day to day.
I love it. I love it. That's, you know what? You guys have got a good system and it works and you've got this backup insurance in place. You know, it's almost like an indemnity where you've got these friends who just deliver you wine and thank God for them.
Oh, thank God for them.
Yeah, they're the true heroes of this week's episode, I'd say. Yeah.
I have to laugh though, because so at the moment curfew is like 9 p.m. So like, yeah, you can't be out and about after 9. And we left their house last night at 9.
Oh, dang.
So,
okay.
Like, I'm just like, you know, I don't like breaking rules.
No,
and like,
that's
truly, we lost track
all.
Of time and we're like, ah, shit. So we're driving. I'm like sweating bullets. And there were so many other people on the road. South Africa.
But that's the joy, isn't it? Like, that's what I love about you as well, is the fact that you will freak out and you would still be like, they're going to get me. Even though there's hundreds of people around, they'll be like, they're going to make a beeline for me. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the issue. And we're all in trouble because
we had wine in the car.
And you had wine in the car. Yeah, yeah. But you were fine. You got home safe. And look,
safe and
it's
sound.
Joyous. And now you have wine.
I'm so happy.
True.
I love wine
the true
so
much. Bootlegger. The true bootlegger story. Mm. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what are you drinking?
This week, I'm back on the rosé cider. This shit is so tasty, I've got to say. It really, really does. And after, like, a hot day in the sun, oh my God. Mm-hmm. I've got another two in the fridge, and if I wasn't working tomorrow, and even though I am working tomorrow, I still might go for the other two, because they are just so tasty, and it's just, like, sweet and delicious. It's like a fruit juice, and I'm, perfect for a hot day like today. Yeah, yeah.
Thrilling. I actually had a bit of a GMT in the sun earlier because it's like an uncharacteristically warm day here for winter today. Mm-hmm. So we took full advantage and just like GMT, trying to soak in as many rays as possible. It was great. It was magical. Is there anything better than a GMT in the sun?
No, no, there really isn't. I mean, it is the drink of choice for the sun. It is just so cool and refreshing and what a day. What a gorgeous day.
Yeah.
That's lovely. Yeah. Well, I guess you win, which, I mean, doesn't really matter since you're going to be doing Blue Crush 1 anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know what? At least we're sticking with the rules.
Now, this plot is very complex, Chad, so please, like, focus, try to keep up.
Right. I'm gonna really pay attention to every word because it was, like, I was completely lost by the end of the movie. I felt really dumb.
Totally.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I hear you. Okay. So... this movie follows three surfer gals. The main one is Anne Marie Chadwick, played by Kate Bosworth, and her friend Lena, played by Sano Lake, Eden, played by Michelle Rodriguez, and then she lives with her little sister, Penny, played by Mika Burim. The four of them live together, and they are just scraping by. Anna Marie's mom left them, like, a couple years ago, so Anna Marie is trying to raise Penny on her own. She is failing frequently. Penny's super rebellious. She's drinking. She's going out all hours of the night. Anna Marie is at her wit's end. But one thing that all four of them have in common is they fucking love surfing. Guys, they love it so much, and they're good at it. Anne-Marie was
surfing.
Really close to hitting the big time 3 years ago, but then she had a near-drowning accident, and, like, it's caused her to kind of, like, choke when the going gets tough. But there's, like, what's it called? The pipeline? Pipe Masters tournament is coming up, and she plans to dominate so that maybe she could get, like, a sponsorship and be, like, an actual professional surfer, as opposed to what they are now, which is cleaning ladies at a local hotel. While they are working at the local hotel, they start cleaning a room that is actually just truly disgusting in every possible way. Anne-Marie loses her cool, goes down to the beach, and sasses Faison. Well, she sasses football player Leslie, played by Faison Love, and actually makes quite an impression on him, even though she loses her job. Later, one of his entourage and fellow football players, Matt Tallman, played by Matthew Davis, he comes up to her and he's like, oh, I wanted to see about some surf lessons. And she's like, no, I'm very busy trying to be a professional athlete. And her friends are like, what are you doing? We should absolutely give him and all his friends surf lessons. They're going to pay so much money. After they spend the day teaching him and his friends surfing, it's clear that Anne-Marie and Matthew have really kicked it off. No, sorry, Matt. Oh, okay. It's a Matthew playing a Matt. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was like, what?
Don't get bogged down in the really crazy complex details.
The two of them hit it off. They start spending more and more time together. This causes Anne-Marie to have a bit of a falling out with Eden, because Eden's like, you know, you're really good, but you need to be like focused and training. And especially when she attends a party with Matt later in the week, Anne-Marie overhears a bunch of women talking about how Matt likes to slum it. And Anne-Marie's like, oh my God, am I just like the surfer girl that he hooks up with in Hawaii and then we never talk again? And Matthew's like, no, that's not the case. And then he's like, no, but you should really go kick ass at the surf competition tomorrow. And then the following day she does, and she gets a sponsorship, and she and Matt might work out. Well, we don't know. The end.
The end. So what is your cliffhanger?
My cliffhanger is this one.
Who is that?
You. That was the first time you beat me at the Menehune contest in Haleiwa. You were such a cocky little shit. I was talking all that trash and how you would be number one. I was so pissed at you, because I knew you would be. All talented and shit. The boys were spinning. Remember that? They had to throw up some bullshit rule barring you from the boys' contest.
And like, honestly, Michelle Rodriguez is the best part of this movie, in my humble opinion. But I always think she's the best part of any movie she's in. She's so underrated.
I get you.
But she's just like a great friend. She's like, what the fuck are you doing?
See, like, this is where we disagree.
Oh, really?
Completely.
I wondered actually if you'd have a controversial opinion here.
So this is like probably one of the very few times that we disagree on anything. But I just think that Michelle Rodriguez
one of the
is
very
such
few times.
I just think she's a massive buzzkill in this movie, only because, regardless of the fact that that the main character did not train whatsoever after she met up with Matt, she still won the surf competition. So clearly, you know, Michelle Rodriguez just needed to get off of her dick, and she was just a massive buzzkill the whole time, just being like, oh, you're being such a baby, stop being a baby. Motherfucker, those waves are huge, and I almost drowned 3 years ago. Like, what are you talking about? I cracked my face on a giant rock. I'm allowed to be a bit scared of giant waves. Like, I don't disagree with you. She is a great character in this movie. She's beautiful. She's fantastic. Sassy as fuck. Brilliant, brilliant character. But major, major buzzkill for no reason.
You know, but also, I was thinking about it, like, and if it's my friend, right? And I know, like, my friend's, like, big dream is to be, like, a professional surfer. And, like, she's looking good, she's working hard, she's training hard, leading up to the week, and suddenly she's, like, sleeping in late and hooking up with, like, some random football player dude. I guess my thinking would be, like, I wouldn't want my friend to, like, drop the ball at this, like, crucial minute for, like, a dude that might break her heart.
Yeah.
So I feel like I get
where you're coming from.
I would also be very protective of my friend here and be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, truly, truly. And also there's a balance here, right? Where like you can hook up and still like wake up early for morning training.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. You're 100% right. I think the way she went about it is my issue more than the fact that she was considerate.
Especially,
like, I think...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's fine. Go.
No, it's also just, like, it's all, like, in Anne-Marie's head as well. Like, Matt is an athlete. Like, he's a professional athlete. That's made very clear. Like, I don't think there's any way that he wouldn't understand her being like, no, listen, like, I really, like, I can't be having champagne with you at night and stuff. Like, I really, truly need to be, like, focused on this.
Yeah.
And we can, like, hook up when I'm done training and stuff, but like this can't happen. And I feel like he would have been very chill about that.
very chill about that because he's on holiday with his boys anyway. Yeah. Like, he wants to enjoy time with them. Like, it's fun that he's hooking up with her and everything, and he obviously very much likes her.
Yeah.
But even so, like, he's not gonna have a problem. Yeah, I just think, yeah, she handled it the wrong way about going about it. Like, she could have just been like, yo, like, you do realize this is your massive dream. But it just, like, the whole time, every single time she, like, spoke about it, she was just like, you're so good, I wish I could be you. And it just felt very sort of,
it
like, vicarious living.
Yeah.
And I would have reacted the same way and just been like, get away from me, like, I can't handle you right now, you know? Whereas the other friend is probably my favorite character.
She's just there
in
to
this
support
whole thing. She's just the nicest human being, no matter what. She just, like, doesn't have a bad word to say about anyone. She's like, even when Penny was away, like, drinking and smoking with the older boys, she's just like, we did that. Why is everyone having a problem? And it's just like, why? Stop being so chill. Just, like, have one angry emotion, you frustrating person.
She lives on the beach. She has an okay job that she doesn't totally hate. And she gets to surf all the time. Like, eh.
Yeah, she's the character
chill.
We want to follow. That would have been a great movie. What a whimsical film that would have been. Yeah.
She's not getting up at, like, the ass crack of dawn to do beach sprints and pull-ups.
No, the most training she did is, like, hanging on to Anne-Marie as she's, like, underwater. Also, that scene, by the way.
Great scene.
Fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
All of the training scenes, actually, I really appreciated. That was one of the things I liked a lot about this movie. Was, like, all of the women in this movie have athletic bodies.
Yes.
Like, they have muscles. They do pull-ups. They do, like, hard exercise. They look like people who are athletes.
Absolutely.
And they wear board shorts, like, and stuff. Yeah. Like, they don't look hot. I mean, they look hot,
it's just like,
but, like...
They look hot, but it's not, like, skinny, sort
of
male
gazy.
They're actual
hot.
Yeah, they're real surfers doing, like, real surfing stuff, which is really, really fun. And yeah, like, hands off, like, hats off to the filming people in this, because I mean, it must be really difficult to sort of have those cameras in the water with the waves and everything. I mean, maybe they, you know, use special effects and stuff, but a lot of those shots you could see were genuine.
Yeah, and this is before GoPros, really right?
Tough.
Like.
Yeah, exactly.
So they were figuring out how to mount cameras on the surfboards and do all that shit, like, on their own.
Yeah, and it's really, really impressive, and it's good to see. And I mean, those waves are no joke. So to be swimming in them, being like, yep, I'm going to hold my, like, $3 million camera here while you surf ahead of me in these giant waves that could very easily kill me.
Yeah.
Nuts.
No, it must
have
been crazy.
And so I think that's what's beautiful. That's what's beautiful about this film as well. Yeah. It's just, like, the way it was filmed, the fact that they got in the water. It's not just sort of shot from dry land. I thought that was bloody cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I guess, like, my only complaint about this movie was it was, like, her conflict wasn't really that much of a conflict.
No, it's in her head.
Like, she's just like, oh, yeah, I probably should fuck this guy, like, a little less. Like, that was it.
Oh, if only that was all of our biggest problems.
Oh, man.
What a dream. I mean, my biggest bugbear with this movie is the fact that Anne-Marie never does anything by herself.
Yeah.
Like, everything is hinged on other people as a protagonist. Like, she is quite a wet blanket in that respect. Sort of, she relies on everyone else to get things done.
Yeah.
Even in the end, in the competition, when the sort of superstar surfer helped her out, and it's like, okay, so you've taken no onus for your own here. And we're supposed to root for you when you win?
Yeah.
Like,
it's like you've literally just been like, you've stood on the shoulders of everyone who's supported you and come before you.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, it's a great film in the fact, like, you see her journey. But yeah, I was just like, oh, all right,
cool.
Fine, I guess.
Great.
That's nice for you that you are now sponsored by Billabong and stuff, and you got onto Surf Magazine, the only magazine to use word art to do their title.
I love that they couldn't even get, like, actual Zigzag magazine on.
I love early 2000s for this stuff when, you know, it was still passable. You could kind of get away with doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, always made me very, very happy, yeah. What didn't you like about it?
I mean, I guess, like, I was, like, a little bored.
Right, okay.
I don't know, like, I didn't find her conflict super compelling, and I think maybe the more interesting thing about her was that, you know, she was still struggling with, like, trauma from this near-drowning accident that she'd had. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's not actually addressed a lot. Like, she doesn't really talk about it or anything. Like, she's not like, oh, and, like, I really struggle with, like, the big waves because, you know, I remember that time that I drowned. That's just something that happens. And then she, like, gets over it at the end. And there's no real, like, actual resolution around that, though. She just, like, forgets.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
And I thought, like, it was interesting. It was a cool angle that they just, like, don't bother addressing, really. They're just like, oh, but also, what about this guy? And it's like, that is literally the least interesting thing about this movie.
Yeah, all the Bechdel test flags are just like ringing away. But no, absolutely, it's such a shame that they went with that angle. I mean, even the Penny stuff could have been better addressed. I mean, yeah, they tried to like sort of pawn it off right at the end when Penny's like, oh, that's my sister,
sister, I'm so proud. But that doesn't solve anything for Penny. Penny can be proud of her sister and still like be problematic.
Exactly. It's like, it kind of reminds me of, and this is such a weird comparison, but 8 Mile.
Yeah.
Because in 8 Mile, what's really nice about the ending is obviously he wins the rap battle, but then sort of he walks off into the distance and you know that nothing's fixed and this was just like a really great moment for him. Whereas this, they try to point it off like everything is going to change now and her life is just going to be fucking marvelous.
I mean, she will at least have a steady income.
Yeah, exactly. And she gets to surf for a living, which is the dream. But, you know, she's still going to have all these problems. Like, Penny's still going to be, you know, doing what Penny does. The other two are, like, the other, Michelle Rodriguez's character is probably going to be more insufferable now because she's going to really be riding the
coattails
of
Anne Marie. And if
anything,
her problems are magnified because now she's got, like, all the commitments and responsibility that come with being on, like, a major surf team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is she going to look after Penny now?
Yeah, exactly. And sort of also manage this relationship, which has just kind of started, you know?
You know what? I'm not worried about the relationship. Like I said, what I like is that they're both athletes. So, like, I feel like he'll get it, right? Like, he'll have, like, the season where, like, they can't really see each other because he's got to do super intense training. And she'll also be, like, you know, busy going to, like, the different competitions and stuff. So, like, I feel like for her actually dating a fellow athlete, like, professional athlete is, like, not the worst thing. Like, I feel like he gets it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's an interesting question, actually. How do you feel about sort of relationships within sort of like the athletic field? Do you think it works better where sort of both are doing the same sport? Do you think that makes it actually worse? Like, what are your feelings and opinions on this?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't have any like anecdotal evidence to pull from or anything. But I think as always, like people with similar lifestyles tend to do very well together because they like understand the strain that the other person's under.
Absolutely.
So like that's cool. But like, yeah, I can't speak to how much it would make a difference, like if he were also like a professional surfer or something. I assume also because it's like gendered, they'd be in different competitions and stuff anyway. So like, I don't know.
Yeah. I think it is an interesting thing. I think, yeah, you're absolutely right, because unless you're in the field, you don't really understand what the other person's doing. And I think that works for, like, the professional field as well. You know, sort of non-athletic professional field, I mean. I think it is tough when you have those different lives, but sort of, I think it also speaks, again, to communication and being completely open with the other person that you're
totally
with.
I'm
and
not saying that, like, people with similar lifestyles should always match up.
No. Otherwise, how boring would that be? You know, honey, how was your day? The exact same as yours. Like, you were there.
We were both.
And sometimes it can be worse in that respect, because you can't really come home and speak to the other person about it. But yeah, I think you know what? I think these two are going to have a bright future together.
I believe in them. Also, you will recognize that this actor also played Warner in Legally Blonde.
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. I didn't recognize him until you said it.
He looks like a young Harrison Ford, doesn't he?
Does he?
I think he does.
I didn't see that. Okay, well, let
the
listeners
decide. No, he looks so much like a young Harrison Ford.
Okay, what's his name? I'm going to Google him quickly.
Matthew Davis.
Oh, yeah, okay, I can see it. Yeah. His very first picture that comes up on Google, like, you can't not see a young Harry Ford.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, sorry, mea culpa, you're 100% right.
Thank you.
Yeah, good eye. Thank very, very good eye. So. Yeah. Very nice. So what is your scene that could have saved this? If you have one.
I guess for me, like, I would have liked to see a bit more resolution around, like, the existing problems that she had, right? Like you said, literally, she wins the competition and everything's solved. Her PTSD is gone. Her sister is on the straight and narrow. Her money problems disappeared forever. Her friends eternally supportive. Like, it just, like, it wasn't, like, that compelling an ending because of that, right? You're just like, oh, cool.
Yeah. It was a very 2000s ending in the fact that, like, as soon as the movie ends, everything is solved and saved. Yeah.
Yeah, and what about you?
I just want to see her do something by herself, man. I just want to see one scene where she's not asking someone else for help.
Yeah.
Or, you know, where she's just like, oh shit, surfing is a solo sport. I need to do this myself. How did I not realize this until now?
Yeah.
And then she just, like, pisses off to, like, one of the secret local beaches, has, like, a great time, and, like, really rediscovers herself, and she's like, yeah, now I'm ready for the competition. Yeah, the competition scene could stay the same, because those waves are really, really intense, but, yeah, just one scene where she's just like, oh, I need to believe in myself more and not rely on everyone around me.
To, like, push me into success.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So would you watch it again?
I don't think I would. I don't know. It was like a very long movie. It didn't touch my heart. It was fine. It was fun. I'm glad I saw it. If like that's the kind of movie you like, I do recommend checking it out. It was very cool for lots of reasons. But I don't know if I'd watch it again.
Right. Interesting. That's very, very interesting. Because this was your first time watching it as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. So would you say that people should just check it out?
Yeah. Like, I would say if you haven't seen it before. And then never watch it again? Check it out. It's also very cool. Like, this came out in the early 2000s, and there aren't, like, a bunch of, like, bitchy women. It's not, like, girl-on-girl competition. It's, like, it's just a bunch of girls who love surfing and support each other through a difficult time while they love surfing, and that's very cool.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah, I've got to disagree. I totally love this movie. It's kind of one of my favorites.
That's
it's fine. Like, even though it's not particularly good, I just think, you know, as far as surfing movies go, this is just, like, such a great one. And I think when you think surfing movies, you think of Blue Crush. It's just one of those just adorable little weird movies. And it's just really fun. You know, the girl gets exactly what she wants in the end. She gets to fuck a really handsome dude for, like, half the movie.
Good for her.
Blueberry waffles.
Ugh.
Like, fucking do it.
Room service? Yes, please.
And I mean, let's be honest, Simone. Don't we all just want a rich footballer to tell us to order everything off of the menu for breakfast?
While you're in a hotel in a tropical paradise, yes, Chad, I feel like we both deserve this after the last year and a half.
100%. So even though we are both taken and spoken for, if there are any sort of
single
rich
footballers, we won't sleep with you, but we just want you to put us up in a hotel in Hawaii.
Yes, I think that's a good stipulation. We could give you surf lessons, it would be a fucking laugh, but you won't learn to surf.
But we can compliment you, certainly.
Yeah, we're really good
we'll
at that.
We'll do a movie
we're
marathon with you. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be cute. It'll be
yeah,
nice.
We'll do a sleepover.
Pay for us. Yeah, just pay for us. It'll be fine.
Looking for a Fallout audio drama? It's True Vault Escapades. That's right. Follow the death-defying adventures of Detective Walter Camry and his vault girl Bunny as they solve the wasteland's biggest mysteries. From the dramatic Texas prologue to the high-stakes world of New Vegas, Walter and Bunny risk it all to crack everything from murders, slaver syndicates, and corruption at the highest level in post-nuclear America. True Vault Escapades. It's a Fallout show with a detective twist. Look for True Vault Escapades wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, Simone, do you want to find out what happens next to Anne-Marie?
Please, tell me.
Well, I'm not gonna, because this Blue Crush 2 is completely fucking different. Hardly a sequel at all, to be honest
with
you.
Yeah, in fact, the events of the first movie are never mentioned again.
Not even a little bit. I thought there might be a line, but there is not.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Cool, so why don't you tell me what happens in Blue Crush 2?
Right. So, Dana, played by Sarah Jackson, is this free-spirited girl living in Beverly Hills. She has a tumultuous relationship with her father because when Dana was 5, her mother died, and ever since, her father has distanced himself from her. He also wants her to stop messing around, surfing, and having fun, and instead wants her to go to college to study business. Thing is, Dana wants to be just like her mom, who was this cool South African South Africa, who lived in the moment. So, one night, Dana decides to fly to South Africa to complete the one item on her mum's bucket list that she was never able to do before she died. Surf the super tubes in Jeffreys Bay. She leaves with her mum's ashes and writes her dad a note that he will only find after she's long gone. Dina arrives in Durban and hops on a bus to the beach. Also, first mistake, she would have been dead.
She'd have been so dead. Like, at first I was like, oh, they're really upplaying how dangerous Durban is. And I was like, no, they're not.
Yeah, Blue Crush 2 actually turns into Taken. Like, it's not about surfing at all.
Oh, if you're lucky.
So, on the bus to Durban, she meets Pushy, played by Elizabeth Mathis. They are firm friends from the jump, and they bond over their mutual love of surfing. They head off to North Beach together to catch some waves. Unfortunately, already in the water at North Beach is Tara, played by Shani Vinson. She's sort of the surfing queen bee and is kind of mean to the other surfers. Pushy wants to leave, but Dana's like, nope, I want to surf. Dana immediately makes an enemy of Tara by snaking away from her. When Dana tries to snake another way from her, Tara takes none of it and pushes her off, causing Dana's board to snap. This is super heartbreaking for her because it was her mother's board. To make things worse, someone has stolen a bunch of Dana's things, including her mum's ashes. Lost, alone, and confused, she's about to phone her dad and go home. That's when Pushy comes to her rescue and gives her a place to stay. Pushy stays in this commune with a whole bunch of surfers who just live for the vibes. That's where Dana meets Tim, played by Ben Milliken. He's the ringleader of the commune and also volunteers to save elephants, you guys. So Dana's having lots of fun with these newfound friends. In the morning, she is telling everyone about her plans to go to Jeffrey's Bay. Pushy is super stoked for her and agrees to come along. She has her own mission, of course, but wants to help Dana as her guide too. In exchange, Dana will teach Pushy her signature surfing move. See, Pushy wants to try out for to be a team member of the Roxy surfing crew. She's tried out before, but never gotten in, and she believes it's because Tara blocked her chances. The new tryouts are in Jeffrey's Bay a week from Saturday. So, they travel along the coast, surfing their way down to Jeffrey's Bay. They have the best time until Pushy and Dana have a falling out because Pushy thinks Dana is a complete fake, and Dana thinks Pushy is just too damn scared to do anything. Eventually, they make up and head out to Jeffrey's Bay. At Jeffrey's Bay, Dana's dad shows up to take her home. They have a massive fight, and Dana tells him to just go home. Things are a bit tense, but Dana is now super focused on Pushy and her tryouts. At first, Pushy fails to pull off the move, but then on the second wave, she is able to pull it off. She then gets into the Roxy surf team. Dana surfs the super tubes, she feels connected with her mum, and she reconciles her relationship with her dad. She goes home complete. The end.
The end. What is your cliffhanger?
So, because this movie is just pure poetry from start to finish, I think it has to be this one.
I'm gonna surf it for her. You know what else? I'm gonna go to every one of those places in those photos.
Do you know what, Dana? You're on Uhambo. That's what we call it in South Africa. It's like when someone's looking for... what?
I don't know. My mom, I guess.
Or maybe yourself. In Australia, they call it a walkabout. In the Holy Land, a pilgrimage.
What do you call it in America?
A journey?
Boarding.
Don't like it.
I love this scene because it kind of encapsulates the fact that this movie was definitely written by the Microsoft Word little clipboard.
Yeah.
He like pitched up and was like, oh, I see you're trying to write a surfing movie. Do you want me to write it for you? And the writers just went, yeah, sure,
great,
absolutely,
perfect.
Go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a very incongruous character, isn't she?
Which, Pushy or Dana?
Tara?
Tara, yes, yes. She drove me crazy the most, absolutely.
The whole thing was so weird, right? Because Dana, like, pitches up in South Africa and goes to Durban Beach. Like, literally the most popular beach in Durban. And then people are like, oh, what are you doing here, Malibu Barbie? And it's like, guys, surfers aren't like that. Like, they'd be annoyed if you dropped in on their wave or whatever. But surfers aren't, like... Mm-hmm. Super gatekeepy
assholes.
About it, especially like you're surfing Durban Beach, my dude. Like you don't get to gatekeep it. And then Tara's like, "Oh, there's a pecking order," and you're like, "Oh, at Durban Beach?
What? Okay,
okay,
yeah, what? Yep, fine, all right.
Cool.
This is the lie we're going with."
And then Tara's just like so mean, and she's like, "You know, J-Bay has sharks, and you need a wetsuit," and it's like. That's very practical advice. Thank you, Tara. And then, but like, she kind of gets better as the movie goes on. Like, she's like, no, Pushy didn't get in because, you know, she was unprepared and she didn't, like, actually do a good performance. Like, it had nothing to do with me, which sounds fair.
Yeah.
And that apparently seems to be the case by the end of the movie. And then she's very nice and helpful to Pushy. And it's just so weird.
It is so, so strange. And like, she's like, becomes on their side towards the end.
Yeah.
And you're just like, but hold on, you were so mean, but why?
Why?
Like, what was your motivation? She's just like, there is no motivation from her being mean. And also, like, if she was mean, her Roxy, the surfing company, would totally just drop her for being an asshole in the water.
Yeah, if you're a bad brand ambassador, you know? You're a bad brand ambassador. Like,
yeah, you're gonna get dropped. Yeah. Like,
also,
you
why
know,
is she that's just squatting with the rest of these fucking hippies when she's got a sponsorship?
Yes, absolutely. It made no sense. Her character was infuriating.
Yeah.
But to be fair, all of them were. All of them were very, very annoying.
Even just
Pushy,
like the whole premise of like rich white girl comes to Africa for her self-actualization journey is so fun.
Yeah. It's problematic, and I mean, we won't get into that, but yeah, it's the whole, you know, white savior aspect of it was upsetting.
Strong. Especially, very Pushy, strong. That's not her real name. Her real name is Nkosana, which is not hard to say.
Yes, that was upsetting as well, wasn't it?
And I mean, I guess the reality is like a lot of people in South Africa have like their white name, which is the name they tell white people, because white people are bad at pronouncing African names. So like, I guess that's on us. But I was also like, you know, this 100%. As a movie is your opportunity to normalize names like Nkosana, which is not hard to say.
No, especially if you guys are going to be like good friends.
Yeah.
Like Dana should have just been like, oh, no, let me call you by your real name since, you know, that is your name and we're really good friends. Let me not be an asshole about this. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, you're so right. And guys, maybe we should do better as well. You know, let's not have our people of color friends have to give us their white names.
Let's
just be better, guys. It's not hard. If you can pronounce supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, you can pronounce Nkosana. Like,
Or even,
just be
like,
better.
Russian
just
names, be right? Like, everyone says, like, Tchaikovsky and Dostoevsky and, like...
Yeah.
You can say Nkosana.
Exactly. Like, it's not difficult. Come on. Don't be that guy. Yeah. So that's our PSA for the day. I loved the sheer exposition in this movie as well. It always made me happy to just hear, you know, them speaking what everyone needs to do to, like, move forward rather than just showing me. Because, you know what? In a dumb surfer movie, that's not what I need. I need you to spell it out for me. I'm not going to be paying attention.
Look, this movie was so long. And also, in your synopsis, you omitted the whole ivory trafficking plot that they threw in there.
Yes, because I was wanting you to sort of go on to it because your rage when you sent me that message today, I could feel it through the phone.
Okay,
the rage when you got to the ivory.
Dana's first night in the camp, she like hooks up with this guy who's like a rich South African dude, drives a nice Jeep, but is still hanging out again with these squatters. I cannot emphasize enough. I'll come back to that. And, you know, he's very hot and rich and cool and whatever. And then when Pushy takes her out to, like, the township where she grew up to go dancing, which also would not happen.
Girl.
You'd never take your dumb white American friend to the township. But anyway.
Like, clearly Pushy hated her and actually wanted to get her murdered.
Watching Dana dance
so
to Kwaito music made me want to die.
It was one of those scenes where you're just like, right, yeah, white people shouldn't do things. We should just stay inside in our little caves.
Cool, fine. You know what? They showed the townships that, and they showed it in a nice light, which was kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah.
And when she's there, they spot this dude's truck. And they're like, oh, like, let's go see what he's doing here. And they spot ivory in the back. So it's become very clear that he's part of some sort of ivory smuggling ring or something. And, like, basically the resolution of that is that she stops hooking up with that guy and hooks up with a different guy. And the other guy faces no consequences at all.
No, he just kind of... Oh, he has the best exit in this whole movie. It was my favorite thing ever. So he, like, after the whole ivory trade thing, when Dana is like, oh, I've reported you to the cops. Mm. She's bluffing, of course. She hasn't reported him to the cops. Again, why she didn't,
for some reason.
Who knows?
Yeah. Poaching is taken really seriously here, guys. It's taken so seriously.
Really seriously. Yeah, yeah. We're not going to get into it. Otherwise, yeah. But yes, so he disappears for a while, and then he pitches up at Jay Bay, and he, like Dana comes to swim, and all the other surfers, yet again, are gatekeeping, and just being like, oh, what the fuck are you doing here? And he pulls up, and he's just like, nah, bro, she's cool, and then he fucks off again.
Yeah.
And he's just like, what? Is this your redeeming quality? Is this your resurrection?
I don't understand why people think surfers in South Africa are so mean. They're, like, literally the nicest, most relaxed people.
Exactly. Like, you're not going to find nicer people
At worst, they'd be like, hey, listen, are you sure you can handle these waves? Like, they're really intense. Are you going to be okay? Like, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
At most, you'd get maybe some banter assholes. Of like, well, I'm not going to drag your fucking butt out of the water if you can't handle it or whatever. And they still would.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's not. They're not assholes about it. They're not just going to, like, boo you off and be like, oh, get the fuck out of here. Like,
so
it was
weird.
So ridiculous. And then just to have one word from, like, their one friend who's just like, nah, bro, she's cool. I'm out. And then he just pisses off. It's like, no, that's not how it works. Like, okay, fine. Whatever. But I did love their love triangle as well. Mm. So that's something I omitted from the synopsis as well, because I just couldn't.
No, there's not enough time.
But she... Yeah. But when there's that one scene when she hooks up with Tim that I thought specifically of you because it's a pet peeve of yours that makes you squirm, that makes your skin itch. And that's when he sings to her.
Oh, yes, I know. I know.
That I remember from the days we did Camp Rock and how cringy that is for anyone involved in that. Like,
don't sing
what an awkward
someone.
Situation to put someone in. Yeah.
What are
yeah.
they supposed to do with
it's
their
not
face?
The time. I think she handled it really well, though. Like, he finished the song, which, again, they played the whole song. It was like a 3-minute, doozy. Didn't need to be. And she handled it so beautifully. At the end, she was just like, yeah, it is a good day.
And they make out.
Nails up into his chest, and then they make out. And it's like, that's the only way to handle this thing. And, I mean, it all goes back to something, a saying that I've always said, when in doubt, make out.
Yeah, I guess she did the best she could with what she was given.
Yeah.
God.
I think that's what Rudy really needs to do for you your next birthday, is just write you a song and then sing at you.
My soul would leave my body. And, like, Rudy's very romantic. He's very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Speaks all my love languages. But if he sang to me, I'd literally leave, I think. I think I'd leave.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd feel exactly mm-hmm. the same.
I think the only time it's been ever done well in the history of TV or movies is where in Schitt's Creek, where David's boyfriend sings to him.
I'm rewatching Schitt's Creek right now, and honestly, David and beautiful. Patrick's relationship just gets better and better. It's they're so cute, Patrick. Oh. Also, I did not realize how much I related to David until my second watch through of Schitt's Creek.
Right? At one point, like, in the past, I went, like, I was speaking to someone, and I was just like, that's a lot. And I was just like, what have I become? Who am I now?
Oh, God. When David's talking about, like, how he doesn't want to play baseball, and then Patrick's like, oh, but there will be a barbecue afterwards. And David's like, interesting. Food motivated.
Oh, he's the perfect character. Him next to Liz Lemon is the spirit animal.
Anyway, we digress.
Anyway, what did you enjoy about this movie? What were the standout moments for you?
Standout moments for me, as always, seeing the beautiful South African coastline and countryside. Mm-hmm. Like, genuinely, that whole, like, coastal, like, Durban through to Jeffreys Bay is, like, super beautiful.
Oh, stunning.
Super, like, truly one of the most beautiful stretches of coastline ever. I actually appreciated that they were pretty realistic about South Africa. Like, at first I was a little upset. But then I was like, you know, what if they'd, like, tried to glamorize it, right? And they just show, like,
mm-hmm.
the Durban promenade and, like,
yeah,
shit like that. And, like, That's not true. Like, realistically, yeah, if she left all her belongings in a locker on the beach, that locker would be broken into so fast. Like, the moment I saw her lock it, I was like, she's gonna lose all her shit.
That's why I was so angry at Pushy, because Pushy wasn't like... like, no. She was just like, this bitch gonna get her shit stolen, and I'm gonna laugh.
Pushy, you should have known better. So that was cool. It's always fun, like, because I went into this movie blind. I didn't know what to expect. And with hindsight, yeah. I vaguely remember people talking about filming Blue Crush 2 at Jeffrey's Bay.
Oh, right, okay.
But I never, like, clicked. So I fully did not go into this movie expecting to hear a South African accent. And then, like, her mom is reading her diary out loud or whatever. And you're like, oh, my God, okay.
Yeah. This is very South African.
Yeah. Oh, such wooden performances from some of the South African actors, which was unfortunate. Like, come on, guys. We have amazing actors. It's fine.
Yeah.
I liked a lot of the surf montages, which I assume used locals, like local surfers. That was really fun. Mm-hmm. That's always cool. Yeah, there were bits and pieces that were fun. But overall, this movie was a big mess. It was such a big mess.
Yeah.
And ultimately, yeah, again, it's about a rich girl coming to South Africa to complete her journey, not really giving that much of a shit about the people that she might hurt or exploit along the way. And, you know, no matter what happens, she can still always retreat back to daddy.
Yeah. No, you're so right. And there's no turnaround for her,
no,
is there?
She doesn't learn anything. She doesn't, like, gain any new appreciation of anything. Like, it's very much about her completing her journey to connect with her white mother. I didn't love it.
Yeah, it's icky. Yeah, no, you're so right. I mean, the only reason that her and Pushy became friends again was because they almost died, you know. And Pushy at least, like, has that revolution. She has a really nice story arc. Yeah. But, you know, but Dana doesn't. She's just like, yep, okay, now I'm gonna go back. I've gotten everything I need. My dad and I are fine now. Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
Can I just say that, like, this is clearly taking place over American summer, so, like, June, July.
Okay.
But it also happens to be summer in Durban and Jeffreys Bay when she's there. And, like, for those who don't know, Southern Hemisphere, your summer is our winter. So Durban should be much colder, and Jeffreys Bay should be fucking freezing.
Freezing.
It's so cold in winter.
To be fair, Tara does say at one point, she's like, it is coming to winter, you need to have a wetsuit, and that's just ignored, very much like the whole of Tara's character. She's just sort of, like, says things into the ether, and then they make no sense.
And sharks don't really feature, which, like, interesting.
Yeah. Look, hey, Simone, we've said before, let's not villainize sharks.
No,
so the fact that they didn't villainize
sharks was
ace. True. Like, really chuffed about that.
Yeah. No, what? Yeah. You're actually right.
I did have a massive laugh when elephants featured heavily in this movie. That fucking... The stereotypes of South Africa drive me nuts.
You don't just stumble across herds of elephants. Like, they're very protected.
Unbelievable. I was so angry when I saw
that. Was that supposed to be, like, Addo Elephant Park that they were going through? Or... No, but they were just walking through to go to a surf spot.
But they were just... Exactly, and they didn't, like, pass through any fences or anything. You like, that would be full-on gated to get into elephants.
But at one point,
like,
they stop to pee, and a rhino charges them, which, like, they would be dead. You're not going to outrun a rhino.
I would have loved this movie if every time they should have died, they did die, and the movie just kind of, like, starts again with what they should have done.
They get to Jeffrey's Bay all, like, really fucked up.
Yeah.
Because also, that was a baby elephant with that elephant herd, like, running right towards them.
Yeah.
And, like, okay, yeah, no one's going to be defensive over the little baby. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Especially, with elephants. And, I mean, the mum was right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That mum would have freaked. Yeah. And she's also wearing cowboy boots the whole time. And I'm like, babe, your feet are going to be so smelly. Yeah. I enjoyed the music. I enjoyed Pushy as a character.
Oh, she
not
was
so much
cute.
As a character, but as an actress.
What
she
was the
was
actress's
lovely.
Name again?
Give me one second and I will tell you. Pushy is Elizabeth Mathis. She was so lovely in this. My mother said that she's actually a professional surfer, but I don't know if that's true. I didn't actually look it up. Well, there you go. That's very cool.
Oh, she was in Enchanted and Tron and Unstoppable.
Oh. Wow, so she's actually done quite a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, good on her. Good on her. That's lovely. So what's your scene that could have saved this one? I mean, there's so much, but...
So for me, I thought like there was a bit of a lost opportunity with Dana's dad coming down, right? Like the central conflict in their relationship is that she feels that he's not really honoring her mother's memory very well. And he feels that, like, actually she doesn't even remember her mom. So, like, how dare she decide, like, you know, and then he also neglected her a little bit as he was raising her. So I thought it would have been cool. Like, he gets to South Africa and he is looking all over the place for her. And I thought it would have been cool if, like, we also saw maybe his own journey of, like, reconnecting with the person he was when he met his wife. Right? Like, I don't know. He goes, he stays in a hotel and he meets, like, a bunch of really cool older beach people, which like Durban has tons of.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, he just like rediscovered the part of him that fell in love with this like free-spirited South African gal. And like, he went on his own journey so that by the time he actually catches up with his daughter, he's like, you know what? Like, you're so right. I'd lost sight of like what was important or whatever. I just think that would have been like so much more powerful than a weird ivory trade subplot that didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, no, you're so right. Yeah, you're so right. That would have been beautiful and such a nice conclusion instead of the conclusion that we did get. Yeah, no, you make a really good point. Very, very cool.
Yeah, and you?
I just think the white savior complex needed to just go. I think if she had actually learned her lesson, like, and actually taken the words that Pushy had said to her about sort of you can just retreat into your daddy's money and being like, no, you're absolutely right. And instead of doing that, I'm just going to live here now and devote myself to shark
conservation
or
shit.
Or like
conservation,
you know,
or
or teaching the surfers who are apparently super mean how to actually just be nice people.
Oh,
like, don't be so mean,
guys. Surfers in South Africa aren't that mean.
Yeah, of all the harmful stereotypes of this movie, I think that's the worst.
Yeah, it was so bizarre. It was like such a weird... Yeah,
really weird. But guys, seriously, go surf in South Africa. Honestly, you'll have the best time and surfers are lovely. Don't listen to this crazy movie.
But also like have
They're
a plan
wrong.
When you get to Durban. Don't like be like, where can I get a bus to the beach?
Don't. You're going to get murdered. You'll have the shortest trip.
We have some of the highest crime rates in the world. You'd have to be a little smart about, like, what you're doing.
Don't go on public transport. Guys, oh my god. Simone and I will produce a list of things that you shouldn't do in South Africa.
You will stand out like a sore thumb.
Yeah. It will be easy pickings. Don't do it. Don't do it. So would you watch this again?
Oh, no. No. This movie took way too long, and I wasn't invested to begin with.
No. No, it is not enjoyable, ironically. It is not enjoyable for the cute surf scenes. It is just, you know what? There was only one Blue Crush film.
Yeah.
And that's enough. Yeah.
Totally.
This was something that just happened and we can just ignore it from now on, from here on out. Well, Simone, it's time to hang up our boards, go inside, get changed into some, you know, board shorts and a shirt, and then go back onto the beach for a nice braai.
Oh.
You know, have a lovely meal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. What is your favorite braai food now that it's nighttime?
Oh, when it's nighttime. So, obviously, I don't grill a lot of stuff on the braai because, like, I don't eat meat. But I love a good potato bake. I always bring the potato bake.
Oh, that's a good shout. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Love a good potato bake. And then my braai secret is you buy a can of chakalaka. I don't know how to explain chakalaka to non-South Africans. It's like
a chutney, but like
it's not
nicer.
Sweet. It's like it's basically a bunch of vegetables all stewed together with like really delicious spices.
It's not curry,
it's like a
but it's,
relish,
it's close to curry. Yeah that's better. Like it's a curried relish with delicious fruits with the delicious vegetables. Yes,
it's really good. Like
it's chakalaka. Yeah, it's chakalaka. Like the
but you buy like a tin of chakalaka and put like the whole can on the grill so that it warms up, and then you put that on like your burry roll, your burger, whatever meat you're eating. It's so delicious.
That's really slutty. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
That's
what about nice. You? What's your like braai hack? What's your favorite braai food?
So when I used to eat meat, it was always the beer chicken. So you shove a can of beer up a chicken's booty, pop that in the braai, and it just like it keeps it moist, which is really nice. It also gives it that nice beer flavor,
and
it just crisps the skin up perfectly. Exactly. It's beautiful. So if you do eat meat, try that out. Just any beer. It's really, really good. But you do want a lighter beer. You don't want to do like a stout.
No.
Unless you're insane. Ooh. Yeah. But now that I'm a pescatarian, I definitely think like a nice piece of salmon
on the
braai is just
a
winner.
I love a good fish braai.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Or yeah. Something like that is really, really good. And then also just, you know, sort of...
A poiky is
like
always
just
good.
A mixed, yeah, and a nice mixed vegetable is always good.
Actually, you know, so just, the one time I actually stayed in Jeffreys Bay was on a road trip with my ex-boyfriend who taught us to surf.
Uh-huh.
We stayed at a backpackers in Jeffreys Bay, which honestly I feel like is the best way to experience a place.
That's incredible.
It's like such a backpacker culture. Uh-huh. And while we were there, they were like, oh, we're going to do a poiki. A poiki is basically like a slow-cooked stew. It's done in like essentially a cast iron cauldron over the fire. And obviously I was like, oh, I'm a pescatarian, so like, it's fine. Like, I'll have whatever. You don't have to make a poiki for me. And they were like, no, we'll do a fish one. And they actually found salmon at the shops for super cheap. So they made a salmon poiki.
That's incredible.
But like,
oh my
the
God.
Thing about poikis, obviously, is they take hours. So like, by the time you eat, it's like 10 o'clock at night. You've been drinking beers since 5. And you're fucking ravenous. I think the whole thing was cleaned out, basically. But it was so cool.
Imagine.
It was so nice. Like, Jeffreys Bay is a very cool place, actually, to go to. Like,
that's awesome.
It's a nice vibe. Like, very cool people flock to it. Yeah, worth checking out.
Yeah, and great surf.
Great surf.
And incredible surf. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, how wonderful. Ugh. Well, tell us, what is your gratitude for this week?
Oh, my gratitude for this week, Chad, is cheese. I just, every now and again, I am awed and thrilled by, like, we live in a time where you have so many different options of cheese available to you. We did a baked camembert last night, which...
Oh, my God.
Is there anything better?
That's superb.
No,
there
is
not.
With a nice homemade, like, crusty bread to dip in it. But then we also, like, I bought a cheese that had, like, picante peppers in it and a lovely brie. And, like, just what a time to be alive.
Yeah, no, you're so very right. I mean, 100, 200, 300 years ago, that wouldn't have happened. No. You wouldn't have been able to have all these wonderful cheeses. It wouldn't have worked out. I mean, we are so very, very fortunate. You're right. I mean, you go down to a cheese aisle and you're just amazed at the various types. And as cheese lovers, as like, I think if there was a god, he would be made out of cheese. you know, and that is what was created in his likeness.
Oh.
Because, you know, cheese is divine.
Mm. It is. What's your gratitude?
Oh, what is my gratitude? I think it's that summer has finally arrived. It's the first properly hot weekend, like uncomfortably hot weekend. And it's just been so nice to go outside and just bake in the sun and just read a book. And, you know, I've started reading the Chronicles of Narnia again because they're just like cute and small. So I read the first one in the sun yesterday. It was brilliant. And now I'm on Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I read that in the sun now. And it was just so lovely. It was just so, so nice to just sit out in the sun and just enjoy the few rays that the English summertime gets and, yeah, just hopefully get a bit of a tan.
Yeah, sounds nice.
Yeah, it was lovely. Oh. It was lovely. So, Simone, what are we planning on doing next week?
So I thought, Chad, maybe we stay in the water.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, so, like, you know, it is summer for you.
Yes, for me, not for you.
We're at the beach anyway. What if we did the hard swap? From surfers to mermaids.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm about that. I do love a good mermaid movie because somehow they always are weird and wonderful. And I'm about them. Yes. So what mermaid movies have you chosen for us?
I have got two doozies. One is like, it's at 51%, which I feel like we can make an exception, which is Aquamarine.
Oh my God, love that movie.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Oh, so
absolutely
bad.
Terrible.
So bad, starring JoJo and a young Emma Roberts.
Uh-huh.
And then what kept popping up consistently as I searched worst mermaid movies was Scales.
Okay, I haven't heard of that
one. Yeah, because apparently it's really bad.
Right, okay.
The top thing when you search for Scales is Scales, the insane mermaid movie nobody asked for.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I want nothing else but this in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, that sounds incredible. Yeah.
So let's do some mermaid movies.
Do you ever worry about our history, our internet history, and the weird things that we
Google? My algorithm is fucked. Like, right? We'll look at my Netflix account, and we'll look at Rudy's Netflix account. And, like, the movies that are recommended for him actually are, like, things that he'd watch. And the movies that are recommended for me, I'm just like, this is a mess. Like, I can't.
We need to. I think what we need to do is we need to create separate Netflix accounts that are just for our podcast selves.
I've thought about it,
and just so we're not constantly getting like Adam Sandler movies and other terrible ilk. It's incredible. I mean, it does go to show though that Adam Sandler makes terrible movies if your algorithm does constantly show them when you've been watching bad movies.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. But I'm excited for Mermaids.
Yeah, Mermaid Week.
What beautiful. Yeah, this is going to be beautiful. Very, very excited. Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. We really do appreciate it. We hope that if you are in the Northern Hemisphere, you're having a lovely summer. And we hope if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, you're having a delightful winter.
Yes.
And we really appreciate the fact that you listen to this podcast, that you join us every week. And if you do want to contact us, tell us how much you love it. Tell us the things that you would want to change. We're open to criticism.
Yeah.
You know, we might fight back, but we're still open to it.
Like that.
You're more than welcome. we're sensitive still. We've got thin shells. They're shells, but they're thin. But yeah, you can reach out to us. And where can they do that, Simone?
They can tell us all about it on Facebook or Instagram at Fresh Tomatoes Podcast, on Twitter at Fresh Tomatoes MP. They can email us very long criticisms at freshtomatoespodcast@gmail.com. Be nice.
Yeah, please don't do that. We will cry. It needs to be positive criticism, if anything.
Yeah, constructive.
And remember, constructive. Don't be mean. Don't be mean. Don't be like surfers in South Africa are apparently like. Actually be nice. You know. And if you do go surfing this summer, remember that sharks are not your enemies. They are your friends. It is their ocean, not ours.
But also just like, and keep an eye out, guys. Like, just be safe.
Yeah, be safe. Be sane. It's not that hard. Come on. And as we say, at the end of every episode, we love you and there's nothing you can do about it.
We love you and there's nothing you can do about it. Goodbye! Goodbye.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
Hey there, my name's Jameson, or Big Cat.
And I am Brenna, or Mother Goose.
And together, we are the hosts of The DL, Weekly Gaming News.
Each week, we bring you the top stories from last week, as well as something you might have missed.
Our goal is to start a conversation about what's going on in the world of gaming.
And every week, we have a special guest join us in the chat room, where we discuss a different gaming-related topic and learn more about our guests in the 60-second download.
And if that isn't enough, we also have Slim Jims.
So come and hang out with us every week and join in on the conversation.
Good luck and have fun, everybody.
And remember, keep your goose loose.
Hey, I'm Tom.
And I'm Stuart.
And we're from the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.
We talk about all things connected to D&D lore.
And we're on the Robots Radio Network. So if you're into Dungeons & Dragons or you're into lore, then come check us out. You can find us on any podcatcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get podcasts.
Roll more dice.
That's the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.